The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Pharisees went off and plotted how they might entrap Jesus in speech. They sent their disciples to him with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man, and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You are not concerned with anyone's opinion, for you do not regard a person's status. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not?" Knowing their malice, Jesus said, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin that pays the census tax." Then they handed him the Roman coin. He said to them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" They replied, "Caesar's." At that he said to them, "Then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." The Gospel of the Lord. Before the homily, I want to say thank you for your patience and understanding. Since we haven't had daily mass this week, I've been up at the Spiritual Life Center with all the priests of the diocese and our bishop. So I know it's a sacrifice to not have that daily opportunity to receive the Eucharist, but it's really helpful for me personally and for us as a presbyterate to spend that time together and build each other up, see where God is working in the world. And so I know it's a sacrifice for those that come to daily mass especially, but thank you for your patience and like I said, understanding how important that is for all of us. Also, if I'm glowing a little bit, it's just because I got to spend an afternoon playing golf instead of being inside. So it's not the bishop. It was just I got some sunlight. So that's good. But as we got together, we talked about many different things. We talked about the upcoming diocesan capital campaign starting early next year. We talked about the Synod on Synodality over in Rome currently. We talked about how we're called to make discipleship pathways in our churches to bring God into the modern world. But right at the beginning, the bishop addressed all of the priests in a very, very beautiful way. And he encouraged us to really renew this discipleship and stewardship in our diocese. This way that we've been able to live out the gospel for ourselves and for others for many decades here in Wichita. And he said very simply and directly, renewal of the stewardship way of life begins with me. He said that in reference to himself first and foremost, but he encouraged us, each priest and pastor, to think about that for himself, that if we're going to lead this renewal of discipleship and stewardship, it has to begin with us. It has to begin with me personally, not expecting someone else to do it. That really struck me because oftentimes when we priests get together, I know you guys all assume we're very holy and pious, but sometimes we complain a little bit. I'm sure you can't imagine that. But it can be easy for us to say, well, you know, everything would be better if just the pastor before me had taken care of this thing I have to deal with. Or maybe if the parish down the road would just do this thing or that thing, then I wouldn't have to worry about it. Or if the chancery and the bishop would just do something else, then that would make my life a lot easier. Certainly why some of those things could be true. I think the bishop wanted us to instead look at the man in the mirror and say, even if those things are true, it's not really helpful. Most helpful thing is for me to say, well, how can I renew my commitment to Christ and my life of stewardship? Because I'm the only one that I have control, or I don't have control over everybody else. So all of that leads to a renewal in others, but we can't just start by pointing the finger or saying what other people should do. Instead, that renewal, that following of Christ only comes first if I do it. And it was very powerful to hear the bishop say that, and I think it's very true, but I don't think it's just something that he picked up himself or that he had some great inspiration to do for us priests this week. But I think that's actually what Jesus always does. Jesus, in any of the crowds that he's speaking to, he's never trying to separate them, the good from the bad, or to say these people need to do that, but those people need to do something else. When he's preaching, especially in parables, he always wants to speak to the heart to see how I can hear God's voice in a new way and how I can follow him anew. I think it's no different in today's gospel when he's caught in kind of this catch-22 with the Pharisees and the Herodians. The Pharisees really want Jesus to either pick the Roman government or God. Try to set up this question of the census tax to say, which is more important? Do we need to respect the Roman government and thus alienate the Jews who want to serve God above all else? Or Jesus, are you going to say that God is more important and then upset the Herodians who say we should still listen to the Roman government? Jesus carefully sidesteps this question. But I think the punchline for Jesus in this exchange isn't repay to Caesar what is Caesar's. The punchline that Jesus wants to deliver to the hearts of all who hear him, even us today, is to repay to God what belongs to God. I think when he said that to the crowd, many of them, faithful Jews, would have thought of the first chapter of Genesis. Saying that human beings, man and woman, were created different from all the rest of creation. God made so many good and beautiful things, but it is only human beings that he made in his image and likeness. When Jesus takes out that coin that has the image of Caesar on it, I think he's also saying, look at what is imaged by God. What has God's image imprinted on it? First and foremost, thinking of ourselves in our human dignity, but also the many gifts that God has given us that we don't necessarily deserve, but that he's given in abundance. So when Jesus delivers that line, I don't think he's just trying to avoid some trouble with the crowds, but he's trying to call all of them to the sense of repentance and conversion, to do a lot like what Bishop Kimmy told us priests to do, to look at the mirror and say, but how can this renewal begin with me? To notice what is God's and give it back to him. Brothers and sisters, that is central to our stewardship renewal that we're completing over the next few weeks. This week we'll mail out the stewardship packets, and they're set up a little bit differently than they have been in the past. It won't have a big long list of all the ministries that we do here at Christ the King, and you can just kind of check a box to say which you want to do. So there will be kind of the part to gather all your information, phone numbers, addresses, all those sorts of things. Then there's just two main questions, two empty boxes. One is, what is something that you're already doing that you want to continue to do? And the second is something new that you're not doing that you would like to have more information about. The idea with this stewardship renewal this year is to look and see, what is it that I have received that belongs to God? How do I notice the things that he's done for me? And so then how can I make a gift back to him? Not because I have to, not because he's forcing me to, not because if I don't do this thing, nobody else in the church will. But simply by saying, Lord, you have given me so much. I want to use the words of stewardship that we've used for decades. You've given me so much time, talent, and treasure. So I will freely choose to give this back to you. It's an expression not only of gratitude, but to repay to God what belongs to him. I think the beauty of this new process is it allows us to do those things much more joyfully. To notice that there are ways that God has blessed us, not just generically like he does with everyone, but notice specific particular gifts that he's given to each of us, or that he's given to our parish. It might seem very simple, but even noticing how maybe the lectors proclaim the readings, or how the ushers and greeters welcome people as they come to Mass. If you've received benefit from that, if you've felt God's presence through those things, I think it should be a logical question of, well, why can't I do that for others? I have an expression of gratitude that I can serve in those ministries as well to help other people experience God's goodness through it. I think oftentimes we just think of, well, Father, I'd be really nervous to stand up in front of people, or I don't know what people would say as they're walking into church, and I don't think that I can do that. I don't think I'm qualified or skilled enough to do that ministry. But the beauty is that God often doesn't just use those that are qualified or those that have done it for a long time. In fact, I think that's what Isaiah is pointing out to the people in the first reading. He mentions this guy Cyrus that is the Lord's anointed. We might assume that that means that he was a prophet or maybe one of the kings of Israel that is lesser known. He's actually not an Israelite at all. He's probably somebody that didn't even know who the God of Israel was. Because he was the king of Persia. But at the time, the Israelites were in exile in Babylon, and they had been overcome by these worldly powers, and they had been away from the promised land for decades. And then Isaiah comes and he says, but God has not forgotten you, and he will still work. But he's not going to use the person that you expect. He's instead going to use this foreigner, this Cyrus the Persian, to do his holy will. So that you Israelites will know that it wasn't by any human being that this happened, but it's actually through the hand of the Most High God. It's exactly because Cyrus wasn't that qualified for the job that God wanted to use him. You can imagine if I was hearing Isaiah, I would have been like, so Isaiah, you've got all these words of God. You're a prophet. Why don't you do the stuff? Why do we need this Cyrus guy to come in and do it? It seems like you're pretty qualified and you could handle this mission that God wants to do. But I think that's exactly the point that God is saying. It's not just the people that are qualified or the people that we would pick that he wants to work through. Instead, it's through the surprises, through the ones that we wouldn't see coming, that God wants to work most powerfully. Because then we don't think it's by any human skill or talent that it's happened, but it's actually through the grace of God. Brothers and sisters, when you receive that stewardship renewal packet in the mail, hopefully this week or early next week, I want you not only to pray about what you've already been doing or what you can do anew, but to really ask yourself, with my time, talent, and treasure, what is it that God has given me? What are the things that are imprinted with his image and likeness on my life? And how do I freely want to give that back to him out of love of God and out of love for my neighbor? So I think with that, I think we want to be even more generous with the Lord. Yet as a parish-wide, I hope we would see that more than just about a third of our parish families could help with the liturgical ministries on Sunday. Now we have about 31% of people that are lectors or ushers or Eucharistic ministers. I would hope that would be close to 100%. Almost everybody can find a way to say, not only will I come to Mass on Sundays, but I want to grow closer to God through my ministry at the Sunday Mass. I would hope that we would have more families that say, Father, I would love to have an hour of Eucharistic adoration. But we don't just have 40 or 50 hours of adoration each Wednesday and Thursday. That could start to expand throughout the whole week. If each of us takes an hour throughout the week, we can easily cover Monday through Friday. Be with Jesus, not just during the day or the evening or night, but with him all the time. So brothers and sisters, let us pray for that spirit of generosity and goodness. That we will recognize the many ways God has blessed us and our lives are imprinted with his image and likeness. Let us pray that, like Bishop Kimmy encouraged all of us priests, we can see that that renewal begins with me. Certainly other people may be able to do more or do things better, but we're only going to start seeing that progress if I can do it first. If I can see that this stewardship and this way of life isn't about what someone else can do, but it's always founded on my response in faith to God. Recognize those good things he has given me and continues to give me. And simply and joyfully give them back to him out of love of God and neighbor. And in that way, when we repay the earthly things back to Caesar or our government, we can do that just fine. But more importantly, we can always repay the things of God by giving them back to him.